All right. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, City Bible Church Baltimore. Glad that we can be together today. So good to see you here. Beautiful day. Glad we can be meeting at the Rotunda Cinemas. A couple of real quick reminders. Don't forget inviting your friends and doing things along that line. You've got the tools of, obviously, our touch cards, but also the cbcbaltimore.com website, our Facebook page, facebook.com/CBC Baltimore, and you can find us on Twitter. Feel free to use us there at CBC Baltimore on Twitter. And also, we've got Easter coming up here, and we'll be talking about over the Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Easter, we'll be talking about the subject of forgiven. Now, another quick reminder, remember 10% of everything that we give out, that we give into City Bible Church Baltimore, does go out. We believe in being generous. We really believe in it. And obviously, with the tragedy that's happened in Japan, it's been very important for us to send 10% of our giving out to Japan. And we're doing that through the churches that are in Tokyo, in Osaka, that we're connected with, that have already sent relief in there. We're helping to pay for that relief, the truck of supplies that already went in there. And so that's what we're doing there. Wanted to make sure that you were aware of that. Now, for the last couple weeks, we've been talking about the subject heavy. We've been talking about the subject heavy. I know that sounds kind of weird. Why do you go to that church? It's always a downer. Actually, what we're talking about is sin, or asking yourself really the question, are you carrying something that you're not designed to carry? Are you carrying something that you're not designed to carry? You see, the truth is, we're not designed to carry guilt. And the longer we carry our stuff around, the heavier it gets. You can't just say, you know, oh, I'll come to church, you know, when I got my stuff together. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way it works. And so let's just open up, grab your Bible. Let's open up with a word of prayer this morning. Oh, Father God, we thank you that we can be together this morning. We thank you that your word is life to us. We thank you that it is fresh air to us. And so, God, today we thank you. We pray that you will help us to hold your thoughts higher than our thoughts. Help us to listen to your word. Let your Holy Spirit guide us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. We want to go ahead and grab a hold of your Bible today. We're going to be, in just a moment, looking at Psalm 51. Before we do, we're going to talk about just a couple of other things. And in the context with Easter coming up, wanted to talk about a couple other parts of this story before we do. But listen, let's not get distracted from our topic, right? Heavy, talking about heavy, we're talking about sin. We all have a past. We all have junk that's in our life. And sure, it happens, you know, innocently enough. In the heat of the moment, you do something or you say something that you didn't mean to, but you know that it's wrong. The truth is, you don't have to live with that. You don't have to live with that for the rest of your life. And God has been communicating to us for literally thousands of years what his love really is like. What his love is like in the real world, and how that actually functions, not just as some spiritual idea that you might think about here and there, but what is it actually, how does it work? What does it actually mean? And even in the story of Jesus, next couple of weeks we're going to be talking about Jesus forgiven in the cross and forgiven in the resurrection, but even in the genealogy of Jesus, from Adam all the way through Joseph and Mary, in Matthew chapter 1, we see some really interesting things, and it's the redemptive story. You got to, if you're realistic, you have to be asking yourself at some point, what's the big deal with Jesus, right? What's the big, 2,000 years, why are we still talking about Jesus? Why does it still matter? And that's a legitimate question, but it's a question that God answers in many, many ways, in creation, and in the Bible, and in real life. And God is constantly showing us that he's been reaching out to us with his redemption, reaching out to us. And what we see in Matthew chapter 1, in the genealogy, a couple of things I want to point out to you just real quick. Salmon and Rahab are the parents of Boaz. Now, let's talk about that just real quick, okay? Because Rahab, who was Rahab? Rahab was from the story of Jericho. Rahab was that girl. Rahab was the forgiven prostitute who God redeemed through the story of the conquest of the city of Jericho. And if you don't know that story, it's a great story to look up, but it's important to realize she's in the genealogy of Jesus. God could have chosen any way that he wanted to set up the genealogy, but there's Rahab right in the middle. She's the mother of Boaz. Who's Boaz? Boaz is the guy who redeems Ruth. Who's Ruth? Ruth was a Moabite. Just like Rahab, she was not a Hebrew. She was not a part of the quote-unquote chosen nation, right? But Boaz saw Ruth, who was a widow at the time, had mercy on her, and then they, right, they were the parents of Jesse. Who's Jesse? Jesse is the father of King David. Now, David is the father of Solomon. Now, who is Solomon's mother? It's Bathsheba. Bathsheba had been Uriah's wife. We understand that David had a lot of children, but it's Solomon who was chosen to be in the lineage of Jesus. It's Solomon who's chosen to be in the genealogy. And that's important, and that's relevant to our story today with David and Bathsheba. So let's talk about the story of David and Bathsheba for just a minute. I know it's a little early for this. Exercise the buddy system. Elbow your neighbor. Make sure they stay awake. Let's talk about this story real quick of David and Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, here's the story that you're going to see of David and Bathsheba. Now remember, David grew up in a working class family. He was a shepherd, right? He was the youngest of the boys. He was a shepherd. He came up in that working class family, and then through a crazy set of circumstances and really God's plan, he became king. And by the time he was 30 years old, he put a lot of miles on. He'd been a lot of places. Now remember, by the time he's 30 years old, he believes in God. He reads the scriptures. He wrote songs. He sang songs to God. He loved God. But what happens in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12 is at the time of war, when David was supposed to be out with the army, he stayed home, and from his rooftop villa, he saw a beautiful woman taking a bath. Okay, he saw a beautiful woman taking a bath. He wanted her, but she was married. What did he do? He slept with her, and she became pregnant. When he found out she was pregnant, he arranged for the death of her husband. Her husband was Uriah. You can read the whole story there. He arranges for Uriah's murder. Then what does he do? Very quickly, he marries the widow. And that thing that had been this affair between them, this summer fling, if you will, between them, all of a sudden became bitter. And it was a difficult thing that David carried on his conscience, because not only had he committed adultery, not only had he slept with someone else's wife, but he had also arranged for the murder of the husband to cover it up, because Uriah wouldn't go home when David told him to go home to try to convince him that the baby that was to come was actually Uriah's baby and not David's. And when Uriah wouldn't go home, David arranged for the murder, and now he is responsible, and so he marries the widow and becomes the father to Solomon. But all along, David knows how Solomon was born. And crazy though it is, God is showing us how he can redeem even our deepest, darkest secrets by having David and Solomon in the genealogy of Christ. Think about that. It's difficult. It's not an easy thing. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had difficult things in my life. I've had things in my life where I can't see how God could forgive me, let alone anyone else. I've been there. Seriously, I have been there. I have been in a place where I don't know how God could ever forgive me for this. It's terrible. I never will be able to be clean from this. Never. And that's where David finds himself. And through the story in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, the prophet confronts him and he repents. What I have found is that when I'm at that place, the words that are in the Bible are easier for me to pray than my own words. Because sometimes I don't know what to say. When I'm in that moment, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say to God. But thankfully, we've got examples in the Bible that show us what we can say. So when David called out to God for mercy and finally let go of the guilt he was carrying, that's when he wrote the words of Psalm 51. So let's go to Psalm 51 right now and let's read it. Psalm 51. It's right in the middle, should be in the middle of your Bible. And just to make it easier, I'm going to read from the New Living today. Now remember what we say here at City Bible Church Baltimore, there's no perfect people allowed. Guess what? We mean that. We mean that. We mean it when we say it. So David's at this place. He's been confronted by the prophet Nathan. He's finally going to let go of his guilt. He's finally going to confess his sin and ask God for mercy. And that's when he writes the words of Psalm 51. Let's read it together. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you, and you alone, have I sinned. I've done what's evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, but you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You've broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sin. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach you your ways. Then I will teach your ways to rebels. Then they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O God, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with the sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar. Now listen to what David has to say here. Listen to what he's saying. Listen to these words. Have mercy. Blot out the stain. Wash me clean. Purify me. Give me back my joy. Remove the stain. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Make me willing to obey you. Forgive me. David was being eaten up alive. He was being eaten from the inside out with the weight of this guilt, with this sin that was heavy on him, like chains. He couldn't get out from under it. And when he cries out to God, because remember, in this story, David gets completely restored to God. He gets forgiven. He gets made clean. When he comes to that place, he's got that rotten feeling from the inside. He lets go and he confesses his sin and he asks God to forgive him. It's like my parents used to have this this unfinished basement in this house we lived in with a kid. And I never forget what it was like, you know, the first time, you know, the light switch was a little ways away from the door. And, you know, I go down there to get something and I turn off the light switch and it's dark and I'm headed out for the door. You just see a little bit of light there and then I just, bam, get hit in the face with this spider web, you know, and I'm trying to get it off me. And, you know, you hate that feeling. You're a little kid. It's kind of a panicky kind of feeling. It's all over your face and I keep walking and then there's another one in my face and I'm, just, you know, hate spiders and trying to get it off me, trying to wipe it off me. You know, there's one paraphrase of a verse in the Bible that says two kids in the mud puddle can't clean each other. We are hopeless in our sin with just self-help books or with trying to talk each other out of it. But with God, getting clean is possible. Getting free from your past, it's possible. Through God, you can be made clean. You can be washed clean. You can be purified. You can have that stain removed. You can have a clean heart. You can be clean from the inside out. You can have the joy back. You can have it back where the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. It's possible. It's possible to be forgiven of God. And I'm here to tell you today from the Bible. It's not my idea. It's a God idea. God makes it clear and plain that He wants us to be clean. But you've got to come to a place where you realize you can't do it on your own. You need God. You can't do it on your own. You need God. You need the living God. That's what you need. You need that lifeline thrown to you so that you can be lifted out. It's just like, you know, you watch those crab fishermen on the boats and, you know, what happens when one of them gets swept out to sea by a wave, then the crazy storm and the wave comes washing across the deck and they're thrown into their seat, you know, and they got the life suit on. But without somebody throwing them the life ring, you know, that buoy, without somebody throwing them that on a rope and pulling them in or being rescued by the Coast Guard helicopter and pulled up from the basket, they would die. Hypothermia sets in. You can't survive in the Bering Sea of Alaska on your own. It's the same with your sin. Maybe you're here today and you're trying to make it on your own. Stop. It's foolish. Stop. You can't rescue yourself. You can't clean yourself. You can't do anything to earn God's love. You can't do anything to prove that you're worthy. Just knock it off. Just stop. You need God. You need to accept His love. Now let's make just a couple of observations up on the screen here. A couple of observations, a couple of thoughts from this passage of Scripture, okay? Let's simplify it. Let's make this real now. Okay, number one, God's love and forgiveness doesn't know your limits. Let me say that again. God's love and forgiveness doesn't know your limits. You can't put God in a box. Maybe you've heard somebody say that. You can't put the person who created the universe from nothing, you cannot limit Him. The Yahweh God, His name that means Creator and Redeemer, you can't limit Him. You can't hold Him down. You can't tell Him what He can forgive and what He cannot forgive. God's love and forgiveness doesn't know your limits. He's not limited by that. Let's be real. What most of us tend to do is we tend to keep stuff on the inside. And we'll say, okay, God, you can forgive items number 1, 2, and 3, but item number 4, It's too big. There's no way. That can never be forgiven. It can't. I mean, how foolish does that sound? The reality is, you don't get to choose. You can, when you accept the forgiveness of God, He wants to cleanse you from it all. God's love and forgiveness does not know your limits. Number two, God is not asking you to carry the weight of your past. I want to say that again. God's not asking you to carry the weight of your past. It's as though your mistakes in the past are chains. And it's like wrapping those chains around. It's like you've been released. They're laying on the ground. You are free. You are completely free. And what do? We look to the things that we used to self-medicate with, and we pick those things back up, and we wrap them around ourselves, and we say, oh, life is so terrible. We walk around feeling the pain, the remorse, the scars from yesterday. But when you come to God, when you come to the living God, you are set free. God wants you to drop those chains. He wants you to put it down. He doesn't want you to carry the weight of your past. Drop it. Let Him cleanse you. Number three, God is ready, willing, and able to cleanse you. God is ready, willing, and able to cleanse you. Now see, the fact is that you're already forgiven. When you come in and you confess your sins, and you confess faith in God, in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven, you are made whole, you are made free. The reality is spiritual, and it is real. It is real. It's forever, and it's real. And yet, what are you holding back? You see, God is standing right there. He's ready, He's willing, and He's able to cleanse you. Say those three one more time. Number one, God's love and forgiveness doesn't know your limits. Number two, God is not asking you to carry the weight of your past. Number three, God is ready, willing, and able to cleanse you. Now, what do we do about this? I mean, I'm going to venture a guess that there's probably somebody that's hearing the sound of my voice that you just can't see your way through. There's something that's so heavy, and you're hearing me say this stuff, and you can't wrap your brain around it. I know how that feels. When I was a kid, I got to a point of being really curious. I was really curious about how stuff worked, about how stuff was put together. You know, I was always looking at stuff. And then, you know, then you learn the magic of how to use tools like a hammer, a saw, a screwdriver, a wrench, that sort of stuff. Then one day, you know, I mean, we did not have money growing up. Not at all. When I was young. And one day, my dad bought my mom a new, portable stereo, a little AM/FM radio with dual cassette player, you know, state-of-the-art, you know, compact, small, great sound clarity, nice and loud, that she could keep in the kitchen, that she could have in the kitchen. And she loved that thing. And, you know, I was in a mode where I was taking everything apart with a screwdriver, trying to figure out how it worked. And so one day, I climbed up on the kitchen counter with a screwdriver, and I proceeded to take that stereo apart. you know, it seemed simple enough. It could all go back together. Everything else that I did with the screwdriver went right back together, no problems. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. So I'm going to town, taking this thing apart. And my mom walks in. And holy cow. You know that feeling? You know that feeling deep in your gut? You know that you're in trouble. And I look down and I've got pieces spread all around me. And I realized I had no clue how to put it back together. I couldn't get myself out of the fix I was in. There was just no way. I will never forget the feeling. And I tried. And I tried. She was upset. I tried to put it back together. I felt terrible. I didn't do it to be mean to her. I know how much that stereo meant to her. I tried and I tried and I tried to put it back together all afternoon long. Then Dad got home from work, and he tried to put it back together, and he couldn't. And let me tell you, I still feel terrible about that today. I shouldn't. But I remember that feeling. I remember that feeling in my gut of not being able to fix the problem I was in. And if I had a guess, I would think that you might have something like that in your life. Something you did, maybe something that was done to you. You've got something in your life that's a fix you can't get out of. You don't know the way out. You don't know the way out. Listen to me. God is your way out. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. That's what he said. John 3:16-17 says, Jesus said, God, it's Jesus talking. God so loved the world. That's everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him should have everlasting life. For God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that through him it might be saved. God's whole purpose was restoration. God's whole purpose was cleaning you up, was getting you healed, was getting you right, was helping you get to that point where you could know the righteousness, peace, and joy that can only be found in a God who saves. So what do we do about this? Come on, let's make it practical. What do we do? What do we do? Number one, ask God for mercy and grace. Now, if you look at the Bible words of mercy and grace, in general, mercy means I don't get the bad that I deserve. Mercy means I don't get the bad that I deserve. Grace means I do get the good that I don't deserve. I do get the good I don't deserve. That's grace. So ask God for mercy and grace. It's in the Bible. Listen, this is a Bible concept. Reach out, verbalize it. You don't have to have all the slick, polished, educated words. Just call out for mercy and grace. Number two, confess your sins. Jesus said, Luke 13:3, repent or you will perish. It's a Bible concept. Number one, ask God for mercy and grace. Number two, confess your sin. Be specific. He already knows. Confess your sin. Number three, confess your faith in God. Again, Romans 10. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You will be saved. So not only are we to, one, ask God for mercy and grace. Number two, confess our sin. But number three, to confess your faith in God. State the fact that you believe that God is alive, that God is real, that God is capable of saving you, that God is capable of forgiving you, cleansing you, setting you right, making you whole, making you a new person. Confess your faith in God. And number four, ask God to make you clean. Ask God to make you clean. Listen, the spiritual reality is that this forgiveness happens in an instant. It happens in an instant. But the reality for what happens in our nature, simultaneous to that, in our human soul, is that it can be a process of us accepting the forgiveness and the cleansing. And I know that it can be hard. I know that it can be hard, but you've got to reach out and you've got to ask for help. One last thought on David's story in Psalm 51. David had, if you read the historical accounts that are in the Bible, in 1 and 2 Samuel and in Psalms, David had running partners. He had other guys that he could talk to that would help him grow. It's a great idea for you to find someone to help you get through this, because when you're dealing with this kind of deep, gut-level remorse and dark secrets and sin, when you're dealing with this kind of stuff, you need to look for someone who knows what this journey is like and ask for help. God wanted us to reach out for community. Look at Acts chapter 2 and what happens in the Bible. And that's why we're here as City Bible Church Baltimore, to show the people of the city of Baltimore an example of what we see in the Bible. And that is a community of believers, not people that have it all figured out. That's why we say here at City Bible Church Baltimore, there's no perfect people allowed, because none of us have it all figured out. None of us are perfect. We all have our junk. You're either a sinner or a forgiven sinner. It really is that simple. You've got to get it through your head. You're not better than someone else. But we want you to be forgiven by the grace of God, not because you attend church or a small group, but be by the grace of God. But what we see in the Bible and in history and in real life and in church is that you need the church. You need a community of believers to worship, to come in on a Sunday morning and to sing songs of faith and about God's love, and to pray, to spend time in prayer, and to listen to the Bible and to consider it and to be asked good questions, and also to share life with other believers. That's why we do small groups, meetings in homes that we call life groups, where we can share the ups and the downs together, where we can laugh together, where we can eat together, where we can party together, where we can have a good time, where we can share life, and we can share the reality of this struggle of accepting the forgiveness of God, because that's what God wants for you. Once again, consider Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5. Yet it was our weaknesses He carried. It was our sorrows that weighed Him down. And we thought His troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for His own sins. But He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Listen, Jesus went to the cross for you. God wants you to know His love. He wants you to accept His cleansing, that new life, that where the stain of your past and your sin, your history, where the stain of that is removed, it's cleansed from you by His unfailing love. He wants you to be clean. He wants you to know that feeling that you're clean, you're made whole, you're a new person in Him. He doesn't want you walking around heavy. He wants you to walk around clean. He wants you to walk around light and new. He doesn't want you carrying the weight of your past. Listen, the longer you carry it, the heavier it will get. So, because you're not designed to carry around guilt. So ask yourself, are you carrying something you're not designed to carry? Let it go. Stand with me this morning. Let's close in prayer. Now, as I close in prayer, if you're here and you're carrying something you're not designed to carry, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'll lead you in a prayer this morning. Oh, Father God, I thank You that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth to live the life we couldn't live, to die the death we couldn't die. God, to give us a fresh start so that we don't have to walk around heavy, but we can know the peace that's found in you. God, I pray for anyone who has their hand raised right now. I pray that you wash over them, cleanse them, strengthen them, anoint them. God, I pray that you bring forgiveness that's real, that you'd create in them a new heart. Right now, if you're here this morning and you want to pray a prayer to confess your sins and confess faith in Jesus, I want you to pray your words, but also just repeat this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that you sent your Son Jesus to die on a cross for me. I believe he rose again, and his life is available to me. I confess my sins. I turn away from my past, and I turn to you. Forgive me. Make me clean. Give me new life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Come on, this is an exciting time. We're so excited to be here, starting a church from scratch in Baltimore City. So glad that we can be here in the Rotunda Cinemas. Listen, quick reminder, there's refreshments afterwards every Sunday, and every time we get together in people's homes, remember, you can donate online, and 10% of what we donate is going over to the relief effort in Japan. We just want you to be able to share in life together. Thank you so much for being here today. We just want you to, hey, just grab somebody, hug their neck. You know, tell them it's possible to get clean. Tell them it's possible to be forgiven of their sins. And I just encourage, dig deep in your relationships with each other, okay? Dig deep in your relationships with each other. Find a running partner. Find a life group. Let's plug into each other. Let's see our lives changed by the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Thanks for coming today. Have a great day.